Okay, tonight's discussion, which again the shiur related to the daf, but a separate independent shiur, will take us and will branch off from the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, daf Samachim Abiz, which you have in front of you. A Gemara that discusses the sugya. The Gemara doesn't discuss the sugya, but Tosfos brings up the sugya of Loig LaRush. So we are usually used to the sugya of Loig LaRush from the beginning of the Gemara in Brachos and other places, and Poskim use the concept, which we're not going to go into tonight because we're going to just focus on one point on the Gemara. But we are usually used to the concept of Loig LaRush of our behavior either next to a mace, within dalet amos of a mace, or within a cemetery. That's the usual usage of Loig LaRush. Covering tzitzis when we go into a cemetery, tefillin, covering our tefillin, not wearing tefillin. Rav Scheinberg, I once heard out of speak at a levaya, Rav Scheinberg wears tefillin all day and 100 pairs of tzitzis, so he had his hat over his tefillin, so it's not visible. But again, that's part of the concept of Loig LaRush, not making fun of the mason, not doing something that the mason can't do. That's a limit on our behavior. That's how it's usually understood. And even there are certain exceptions. Somebody asked me today. Yesterday, the yeshiva went to daven a kever Rachel. It's like, we're davening, they went to daven shachris there yesterday. So they're putting on towels and tefillin at the kever. So is there any issue building? So it's based on Gemara at the end of the first parak in Baba Kama, where if the mahus of what you're doing is lechvod, the nifter, that's there. You dafka go there to daven because you want the zechuyos of that neshama, of Rachel Imenu, whose yard site was today, or Maris HaMachpelah, assuming that is considered a kever. But if that's true, that seems to be the exception to the rule, that even though in general you can't put on tefillin, you can't have tefillin out, you can't have one sitzes out, and it has to be covered. But if it's l'shem, l'chvod the niftar, like the Gemara says, again in the last amud, in the first parak of Maseches Baba Kama, where the Gemara says they were hoshiv, a chizkiyahu ha-melech, when he died, they were moshiv, a yeshiva al-kivro, so they discuss how they do it. So one answer is that it was outside of dalet amos, but the other answer that Tosfos mentions there in Baba Kama is that it was l'chvod the mace, and therefore that is allowed. Anything l'chvod the mace. Look at a levaya. At a levaya there is Torah spoken, but is l'chvod the mace. That's even what the Shulchan Aruch already says. This is the first type of Loig LaRush, which we're not going to talk about tonight. And that is, the Shulchan Aruch mentioned this type of Loig LaRush in Shin Mem Dalet. Shin Mem Dalet, the Shulchan Aruch says, in Hilchas Avelus, Ein Omrim Bifnei Meis, this is not on your sheet. Ein Omrim Bifnei Meis, El Advarim Shal Meis. You're only allowed to talk in front of a mace. Items that have to do with a mace, go in Tzarchei Kfuraso Vahespid, Aval Shar Kol Davar Ha'asur, Vahani mili b'divrei Torah. Avo b'mili da'am aleslan bo. It's only divrei Torah. Now, I can't give a Gemara shir. Oh, what about davening? So you're supposed to wait outside. Where? In Kevara? In the Kvaras? I mean, there's a shul set up there. Everybody, the Minhag Olam is to daven there. Minhag Olam is to daven in Maris Mapela. Right? So that's the Minhag Olam. And that is because it's... At a regular Kvar, I think the Minhag is to go outside. Go outside the Beis HaKvaris. But the Shulchan Aruch continues. Mutter lomar psukim udrasha lechvod ames betoch arba amosav beis HaKvaris. Right? If it's dafka for l'shem kavod ames, so that is okay. But that's the usual usage of Loig LaRush, the limit on our behavior when we are in the proximity of a niftar or in a Beis HaKvaris. But tonight we'll talk about a different usage of Loig LaRush. Starts off with the Gemara that we had over here in Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says, about the 7 lines up from the bottom, Gemara quotes a brisa. We don't have to get into the context of what the question was. Then we're just the brisa. Beged she'avad bo kilayim. It's about 8 lines up from the bottom. A beged that a string of kilayim was lost in. There was one string of shatnez, and I got lost in there. I'm not allowed to sell it to a guy, this shirt. Why? Gemara explains later, because this shirt might end up going back to a Jew one day. A guy has it now, but maybe it'll go back to a Jew, and therefore it's somewhat of a lifnei iver. So that's why I'm not allowed to sell it to a guy. And I can't even make it a saddle, a cushion on my saddle for my donkey. Why? Because it might go up a little bit, and it might be wearing it. Ava, considered wearing it. Ava, what am I allowed to do with it? Do I have to throw it out? Okay, you can throw it out, but is there anything I can do with it? Says the Gemara, Aval osa oso tachrichin lemeis mitzvah. I'm allowed to use it for tachrichin. I could use shatnez for tachrichin, for shrouds of a meis mitzvah. That's what the Gemara says. And then the Gemara goes off to explain what the context is. But we're just going to use that halacha. So Tosas can't believe this. Tosas says, how are you allowed to do this? But what language? What? Okay, it doesn't, we might say, oh, hashkafically, oh, why are you putting on chatnas? You have so many other things that you can put on. But Tosfos says, halachically, there's a problem. Tosfos says, right, see, Tosfos says, where it's underlined, v'yim tomar ha'ikah lo'eg la'rosh. Lo'eg la'rosh, right, you're making fun of, literally, rush is a poor, but somebody poor for mitzvahs. He can't do mitzvahs. You're just putting chatnas on him? What terrible! Kidamrina gabit sitzes beperkat chelos, like the Gemara says in Menachis. I didn't give this to you, but the Gemara says there that we bury with tzitzes on. V'yahi shaita vadi ramina luhu misham loig larush. Pirish bo'osa shashik berua yatila bo tzitzes misham loig larush. We'll get back to the Lomaisa about this later, Ezrat Hashem. But the Gemara seems to say there in Menachos that we bury people with tzitzis in a talus. Shenirash in a chai b'mitzvah. So if you don't put tzitzis on, it appears like he's putter for mitzvahs. So it's loy l'rush. How can you do such a thing? Just like the Gemara Menachos says, you put tzitzis on, so too, you can't put chatnas on, says Tosfos. That's Tosfos Kasha. And this is an example of loy l'rush. So again, we see this has nothing to do with our behavior. This has to do with the behavior that we are doing to the niftar, to the mace. That's Tosfos Kasha. So our discussion tonight, all we're going to do is we're going to go through a couple of answers of the Rishonim to this question and try to figure out from them what do they think, how do they understand this principle of Loi L'Rush, and maybe get a few other insights as well to the sugya. So Tosfos himself quotes two answers. Right? Why? And even before looking at Tosfos, what could be an answer? How is it? Tosfos said, hey, the Gemara over there says in Menachos that we put tzitzis on an iftar. So too here. How can he put chatnas on a niftar? It's loy l'rush. So whenever you have a Rishon who makes that sort of jump based on another Gemara, so the easiest way out of the question is to do what?
To reject the assumption.
Meaning, don't compare the two cases. Maybe this case is unique, maybe that case is unique. So Tosfos at least says one of those. The first answer Tosfos says, the Yesh Lomar, where I wrote number one, the shiny tzitzis. Shehi shekula keneged kol ha-mitzvahs. V'ika loeg tfei. First answer, no. Tzitzis is different. The Gemara Menachos is unique. It's not all mitzvahs and averus. It's only tzitzis. So tzitzis, as we know, is keneged kol ha-torah kula. We know it's 6, that Rashi quotes at the end of Parsha Shlach. It equals 613. You take the 8 strings and you take the knots. You add it all up. And it equals all the Taryag, Bigamatria. So tzitzis is connected kol ha-torah kula. So dafka there, you can't not put tzitzis on him. That's loy l'rush. Any other mitzvah, Tosfos says, basically, what's the rule, what's the exception? Our Gemara is the rule, Tosfos says. There is no loy l'rush, generally, when it comes to what we do to a mace. Right, the loy l'rush is about what we do. But to a mace, no. Tzitzis, that's different. Tzitzis is keneged kol ha-Torah, and therefore, keneged kol ha-mitzvahs, and therefore there is specifically loy l'rush by not putting on tzitzis to a niftar. Is tzitzis the only mitzvah that's keneged kol ha-Torah kula? I know there are many chazals, right? Learning Torah is keneged kol ha-mitzvahs, right? Talmud Torah keneged kulam, we said this morning. Right? Or the Gemara says, Shabbos is keneged kol ha-mitzvahs. If I'm a mumar l'Shabbos, I'm a mumar l'chol ha-Torah kula, if I don't keep Shabbos. Right, I have the status of a heretic. So why dafka tzitzis? Why tzitzis? What about the other two examples that I just gave? Shabbos and Torah. So why only tzitzis? Because maybe Tosfos only says it here because tzitzis is the only one that's connected to the Torah that you could do without even moving. A mace can't learn. A mace can't keep Shabbos. Can a mace keep Shabbos? We generally assume not. Notwithstanding the Gemara in Ksuvos. Some of you are familiar with the Gemara in Ksuvos. The Gemara in Ksuvos says that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi came back every Shabbos to make Kiddush after he was Nifter. The Gemara says, Ksuvos Kuf Gimel and Aleph. Kol Beit Shimshi Havi Asi LeBeisai. Every Friday night, he used to come back to his house. Hahu Beit Shimsha. What did he do? Rashi quotes, V'nira Be'enai. Where is he? Right, Erev Shabbos used to come back, and the Rabbi Kiva Eger there quotes, "V'haya nira bebigde chamudo shaya lovesh b'Shabbos upoter es harabim bekiddush hayom v'lo kishar meisim sheim chafshiyim mitzvus." He wasn't like the ordinary mace, Rebbe. Ki tzadikim chayim upoter bekiddush.
Kiveger quotes the Sefer Chasidim. Okay, so that's one maimer, but that's not usual. Usually we assume that Mason cannot do mitzvah. So maybe that's why Dafka Tosos picks tzitzis, because that's the only one. There is a group of mitzvahs that is connected to the Torah. But tzitzis is the only one that a person who's already dead can do. You put tzitzis on him, they're not really doing it, they're just, you know, they're it looks like they're doing the mitzvah, but the other ones can't. But this is Tosos' Shita B'Yesod, that it is unique to tzitzis.
So if you're burying with tzitzis, then why can't you be around them with tzitzis?
Oh, good question. If one is burying him with tzitzis, so why can't you be around him with tzitzis? You have tzitzis on.
Do you keep the tzitzis on?
Oh, we're going to get to the lamaisa. Do you keep the tzitzis on? But we bury in a talus. We're going to get to a different minhagim about do you cut it or not. But, so Josh asks, so how do we understand the other side of Loi L'Rush? If we're saying you put tzitzis on the niftar, so then why would it be a problem if I would be wearing tzitzis? You're doing it also. How do you answer that question? Is he really doing the mitzvah? Right? Well, he looks like he's doing the mitzvah, as we'll get to this. It's a quasi mitzvah. But still, while we're doing it, Eino Dome, our tzitzis and those tzitzis, Mekayim every second, so still one might be Mechali. But you're right. It makes it a little more difficult if they're wearing tzitzis for the other Loig L'Rush that were not wearing tzitzis. That is idea number one. Second idea. Again, in terms of Darchei Halimud, the second easy way to get out of a problem is always to say, Machlokas. You can either be Machalik between the two cases or say Machlokas. So Tosfos first gives us the first case, that our Gemara is the rule, that case is the exception, Sitzes. And then Tosfos goes the second answer and says maybe it's a Machlokas. Rabbi Yehuda Haya Omer, this Rabbi Yehuda is one of the Baali HaTosfos, Rabbi Yehuda Haya Omer, Tihahi Dimenachos, that Gemara in Menachos that says you have to bury with tzitzis, Aliba de Shmuel, de Azul le Taimei. That's only going according to Shmuel, who says what? De Islay, who holds Ein Mitzvos Betelos La Asilavo. Shmuel holds that we're going to have the exact same mitzvahs when Mashiach comes. Right? The Shmuel also says the line in the end of Sanhedrin, Ein Bein Olam Azel Olam Abba El Yemosa Mashiach, Ein Bein Olam Azel Yemosa Mashiach, El Shibin Malchias Bovad. Right, only subjugation of the other nations. But really, not going to be any different. So Shmuel says, mitzvahs are not going to be batel lasalavo. So that's why he says you have to put tzitzis on. Nimsa kashayamdu atzadikim bilavusheyem. So when the tzadikim get up in their, whatever they were wearing, that's the assumption, they're going to get up in whatever they're wearing, ye you below tzitzis. And it's going to be terrible, the yesh kanavera. Right, and that's, there's going to be a problem there. V'had the tali time b'loig l'rush. It doesn't sound the way from the Gemara. It sounds like it's based on loig l'rush because it's just saying shabali titan l'shaha omdim yesh lohem. Okay, so it says that's based on the people who are standing there. Skip a couple of lines. V'shmuel muki hachta hacha k'divrei b'yanai, etc. Where does he get Tosa get this from? This is really a machlokas and maseches nida. That's in source number one, whether mitzvos will be betelos la'asilavo or not. There is a machlokas there, and Shmuel says they will not be batel la'asilavo. So Tosfos has an easy answer. According to the Gemara Menachah, that's according to Shmuel. You have to put tzitzis on, you wouldn't be able to put chanas on. Because, according to this opinion in Tosfos, what's the essence of Loi L'Rush? What's the essence of Loi L'Rush? He's not doing a mitzvah now? No, that's not Loi L'Rush. What's Loi L'Rush according to this opinion? He's not going to be able to do a mitzvah in the future. That's what he's not worried about right now. This opinion is saying nothing to do with right now. But when he's omeid b'yemos haMashiach, that's the root of Loi L'Rush. Again, Loi L'Rush part type one that we started off this year with. That's not what we're talking about. That definitely exists. But this type of Loi L'Rush, how we treat a niftar, says Tosfos, according to this day of Rabbi Yehuda, it has nothing to do with what we're doing right now. It has to do with the future. It has to do with la'asilavo. So if you say that mitzvahs will not be batel la'asilavo, that's why you have to be worried about tzitzis and shatnez. But our Gemara, the brisa that you can put shatnez on, is going according to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan who says mitzvahs will be batel la'asilavo. Right? And the Gemara Nida even says this explicitly. Look at the Gemara Nida, source number one. On the Makoros page, Tanur Rabbanan, he quotes our Brisa, Beget Shavet Bo Kilayim, Hariz Elohim Kirena Lo Vikal Chavim, you can't sell it, Velo Yasem Radaz Lachamar, Velo Osem Enet Achrich Lameis, quotes our Brisa, Omer Rav Yosef, Zos Omeres, Mitzvos Betelos Lasalavo. Right, this tells us, this according to this opinion of Rav Yosef, and he quotes, and the Gemara continues and says, this is opinion of Rav Yochanan. Last three lines, Rav Yochanan says, My Dechsiv Bemesim Chavshi, what does that pasuk mean? In death there is freedom. Kivan shemeis adam naaseh chafshi min a mitzvus. It's finished. No more mitzvos. So says Tosfos, using this Gemara, that there's a machlokas hasugyas, whether you're allowed to put tzitzis on, whether you're allowed to put shatnas on, that is a machlokas hasugyas. Answer number two, but what's important out of Tosfos is that his understanding of Lord Larash is something totally different. It's about a future time and not about now. Again, this itself is a separate topic, which we're not going to go into. Will corpses become alive again in the clothing that they're wearing? There are different chazals about that. Will everybody be healed if somebody's sick, Rachman al-Islan? This has halachic ramifications. Is somebody allowed to donate an organ? Are we allowed to take, besides Nivel Ameis, but maybe if I'm going to give out a given organ, but then Lassel Lava, I'm going to need that organ back, so he's going to have my eye. Right? So that it has a lot of ramifications. How we view this hashkafic question, which we don't even know an answer to. The Rambam says, nobody's going to know what's going to happen until it happens. He writes that after he writes what he thinks is going to happen, right, in the end of Mishnah Torah. But that is a second answer to the question, which is a separate topic, but we're just touched on it. Third, we're going to have five answers. A third answer, we just did the two in Tosfos. The Me'iri tells us, somewhat, if we could categorize it, an opposite answer of the first one of Tosfos. We're in source number two now. Tosfos said, if you remember answer number one, that the rule is our Gemara. Tzitzis is unique. So this answer is going to tell us, really, shatnez is unique. Really, the rule is you got to be worried about mitzvahs. Why are you allowed to put on shatnez? Says the Me'iri in source number two. Avaloseo tachrichel meis mitzvah ve'ein kan mishum boig larash. Why? Shaharei af l'chai. Because after all, even for a live person, kol she'eino barchimum mutter. Part of the definition of the iser of shatnez is what's called hana'as levisha. You get hana'ah from it. You benefit from it. If you're not getting benefit from it, so then it's not going to be usher. That's the Me'iri. So this mace is not getting any benefit from being wrapped up in the shatness. He's not cold.
If you're sitting on it,
because it might come up to you. Right? There's no reason to sit on shatness, right? You have to worry about shatness in carpets. Right, if you're going to walk barefoot in the big soft car, we're going to go above. All right, if it's hard, it's not going above you. It's not a problem. But that's what the Me'iri says. You have to have hanas levisha. Where else does this come up? Where do you see this concept? Do you have to have hanas levisha? So some Rishonim use it to answer another problem. Source number three. The Gemara in Shabbos Daf Chavtes quotes a Mishnah in Kilayim. The Mishnah says, Mochrei Ksus. Let's say you have somebody who a clothing salesman, and he travels from town to town. How does a clothing salesman have all of his clothes on? So how does he carry all the clothes, all of his wares? You know what he does? He wears 10 coats at once. Oh, you like this one? Okay. Takes off the outer ones, shows him. See, he wears 10 coats at once. So the Mishnah discusses, what if some of the coats are shatnez with some of the other ones? He has all these coats on him. Says the Mishnah, Mochrei Ksus, Mochrin Kedarkon, those who sell clothing can sell it normally. Ubilvad, as long as shelo yiskavein b'chama b'bnei achama, as long as if it's in the summer, you don't have kavana when you're wearing the clothes to be shielded from the heat of the sun by wearing the clothes. Ubikshamim b'bnei achamim, as long as you don't have kavana during the rainy season to keep yourself warm. As long as you don't have kavana to protect you, it's mutter to wear all these clothes. There's no problem of kilayim. What's the problem with that Mishnah? We know there's a principle which is famous in Hilchas Shabbos, but it applies outside of Hilchas Shabbos, Psik Reisha, which means that if there's ever an Isser that is for sure going to happen, even if I don't have Kavana for it, it's Asser, Hilchas Shabbos. I can't open my fridge if I know the light's on. Even though I have Kavana just to open the fridge. I don't have Kavana to turn on the light. But I know the light is going to on for sure. If I know Vada that the light is on, I can't open the fridge. Psik Reisha, as it's called. Right, the Gemara said, what's the source of the Lashon? The Gemara says in Shabbos, if my son is crying, and he's bored, and we don't have any toys in the house, so I had a great idea. I'm going to go outside to my backyard, I'm going to chop off the head of my little chicken, I'm going to bring him the head of the chicken to play with. He'll think it's great. So my kavan is just to get a toy for my child. What does the Gemara say? Psik reisha v'lo yamas, you're going to cut off the head of the chicken, the chicken's not going to die? That's an Issa d'Oraisa, right? Of Shechita. My kavana is not that. So what? That's called psik resha. But we have it even outside of Hilchas Shabbos. The Gemara says a nazir, the Mishnah, a nazir is not allowed to brush his hair in the normal way. Because what happens whenever somebody we brush our hair, hair comes out. So just like we can't brush our hair on Shabbos in the normal way, because hair always comes out, so also a nazir can't brush his hair on a weekday, because it's an issa d'oraisa for a nazir to pull out two hairs. That's psik resha, even though he doesn't have kavana. So what's going on in this Gemara? If he has laws, he doesn't have kavana to keep warm or keep cool, it's mutter. Psik resha. All the Rishonim jump on this Mishnah. So Tosfos says in source number 4, you have to say it's somehow not a psik resha. Source 4. Ubi'inyan de lohavi psik resha. Kagon, shahi alavish ba'abushim acherim, lohagin alav, bebrei achama. What if, no, the shan is the coat that's number 10 on top. So it's not really helping you. The other coats are protecting you. But Tosfos is so bothered by the question, he has to re-understand the Mishnah. That's Tosfos' answer to the question. The Ran gives a different answer to the question. Okay, we don't have time to talk about the lumdis of this Ran, but it's a very important Ran in Chulin, Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph on the pages of the Rif. The Ran says, Psik Resha does not apply to Isurei Hana'ah. Psik Resha applies to Isurim of Shabbos, and Isurim of the Nazir, but in Isur Hana'ah there's no Psik Resha. Says the Ran, let's read it. V'chi tema Psik Resha hu v'kaim alam Reb Shimon Psik Resha v'lo yamuz. Lessa, not a problem. Dele inyan hana'a vadai. Avagav dahavi psikresha sharya. No, if it's an isser hana'a, so then even if it's psikresha, it's mutter. Why? Daham and Yahasam. Quotes our Mishnah. Mochrik says mochrik kedarkan. Vahasam vadai matile hana'a. He definitely is getting hana'a. Elo tekivan delo mechavin la lo chashvina lamidi. No, you don't have kavana for it. Psik resha doesn't apply to isurei hana'ah. Okay, this gets to the lumdus of why psik resha is chayiv. If I don't have kavana, why am I chayiv? Is it as if I had kavana? Do I not need kavana? Depending on that chakira and the achronim, that might have ramifications how to understand this ran. But that's the yisod of the ran. There's no psik resha by isurei hana'ah. Kolka Rabbi Chanan, the beginning of Ksubis, I think it's Simin Vav or so, right at the beginning of Ksubis, where Rabbi Chanan talks about the two understandings of why psik resha is chayiv. But that's a second answer. But the Ramban in Shabbos gives a third answer. Why is there no problem here? It's a unique heter by Shatnez. Because Shatnez, part of the definition of Shatnez is Hana'as Levisha and Kavana for the Hana'a that you get. It's not just a physical thing. I'm wearing Shatnez, so it's a problem. No, it's not just a physical thing. It's the pleasure that I'm getting and the Kavana to have that pleasure. That's part of the definition of the Isur of Shanis. Source number 5 says the Ramban. Umashihitir of Shimon Lamokrik Sus, the Lilbosh Kilayim, Mishon de la Asra Torah el Malbush, Shistamullah Hana'ah. That's what it's called a piece of clothing when you have Hana'ah and you have Kavana for it. Avokashain Lomimenu Hana'ah, Lav Malbushu el Masui Balma. If it's it looks like Shanis, no. It's considered you're carrying something, a load. If you don't have that kavana for Hana'as Levisha. So that's a similar, not exactly the same, but it's a similar idea to what the Meiri says here. To answer up our case, why you let it put Shanis on a mace? Because there's no Hana'as Levisha. No Hana'as Levisha, and that's similar to the answer given in that case.
Sitting
on the chair. So there you have kavana.
But when you're saying when it goes on to you, that's like you're wearing it.
So it might be, so again, that's a Dabar Shein Miskaven. So you might say it's a Gzera. The commercial is a Gzera. You shouldn't put it on the saddle because it might come up on you. But why not? It's keeping you warm. You got a Hana'ah. Let's say you're walking, if you have a very tall carpet, very tall, furry rug, and you put your toes inside, so your toes are surrounded by the things coming up. So maybe that could be, it could be a problem. Right, they say the story about the stipler. The stipler, when he first came, I didn't see it in print, but I've heard it from a number of sources, when he first was coming to meet his wife, with the Chazon Ish's sister, right, so when the stipler was on his way, he knew he was going to be traveling the next day to go to meet his, to this woman, so he stayed up all night learning the night before. All night learning, because he figured he'd sleep on the train. And he gets onto the train, and then he sees the train has cushions. And he doesn't know if what the cushions are made of. So he stays up, he stands up the entire train ride. And he gets to this is how this story goes now. He gets there, and then on the date, he falls asleep. He's falling asleep, and she's like, what's going on here? you came this whole way to go out with me. You know? So he's like, I'm sorry, I was up all night because I wasn't sure it was Shatnez. And so he's like, okay, fine. Right? That's the, right, Chaim Kanievsky's mother. The, okay, the Stifler's wife and the Chazon Ish's sister. Anyway, so that is answer number three. So we have two answers in Tosfos. Third answer of the Meiri. Again, answer Tosfos was shiny tzitzis. Third answer, we just had the Meiri, shiny Shatnez. Number three. The middle answer was that it was a machlokas. The fourth and fifth answer. Fourth answer, we'll just mention it. The Ritva in Nida, on that Gemara that we quoted in source number one, the Ritva in Nida quotes another opinion, just somewhat difficult to understand. He doesn't like it, but let's quote it. Says the Ritva in source number six, Deleka mishem loeg larosh ela bedavar sheyesh bo mipnei maris ha'ayin. There's only loeg larosh when it's visible outside that there's something wrong. If people can look at you from the outside and see something's wrong, that's a problem. People can see you're not wearing tzitzis. People can't see that you're wearing shatnez. They won't realize it. What's the Ritva driving at? What is the Ritva? How does the Ritva understand Loi Larosh in this context? See, he seems to have another idea. You're really not doing the mitzvah. You're not doing a mitzvah. A person's dead. We're not doing mitzvahs at that time. But it's all about the perception. Maybe even loss of lavo. It's all about, like you said before, but we're wearing tzitzis and they're wearing. The answer is they're not doing the mitzvah. It's all a perception issue. Shatnez is not a problem because from the outside, you know, it doesn't look like anything. Loeg Larosh is all about, not about really what's going on in terms of mitzvahs, but it seems that the Ritva is saying it's all about perception. Marisayan. Who's going to see? In an Aaron, but maybe he's alluding to the future also, whatever it is. But either way, it's all about perception. It's not about actually doing the mitzvahs. So it's a Marisayan issue. You're not doing the chafshim in a mitzvahs, he says. So that's why the tzitzis is more of an issue than the shatnez.
People can see the tzitzis, but they won't know that.
People will see that you're not wearing tzitzis. People won't realize that you're wearing shatnez. And therefore, that's not a problem. Good. And finally, the last answer for us. That's the answer for us. We've mentioned this in a different context, which I'll mention now, but we never did the end of it, but now we're coming at it from the end of it, the Loi Larosh element. That is, famous question, we've had Shiram on this in the past, the Avos keeping the Torah. So, A, why did the Avos keep the Torah? All the Chazals were in these Parshias right now, right? Vayera, right? The Malachim came, Pesach, right? Lushi Vasiugos, who was Matzos, and Bakar gave him two. Right? So all these Parshias are full of the Avos keeping the Torah. So A, why did the Avos keep the Torah? Fine, whatever the answer is. B, assuming the Avos kept the Torah, so how do we find that there are certain quote-unquote violations of the Torah? Right? Today was the yahrzeit of Rachel Imenu. How could Yaakov marry two sisters? Right? How could Amram marry his aunt? In order to have, right, Yocheved was the daughter of Levi. Amram was the son of Kehas, who was the son of Levi. So Amram married his aunt. So how could he marry his aunt? It was against what the Torah was going to say later. And others, how could they build matzevas? But there are many answers to that question as well. So on the Shiurim online about that. But the Gur Aryeh, the Maharal in Vayigash, source 7, has a very straightforward answer. And that is, Aseis versus Los Aseis. Says the Maharal, all the Avos, all the evidence that we have, all of those Chazals, it's all about the Aseis, except for one. There's one Chazal that doesn't fit in. But Kimat, all the Chazals say, it's all about the Aseis. He did Tchumin, even Erev Tavshilin, all the mitzvahs Asei. That's what the Avos did. But they didn't do the Los Aseis. This doesn't fit in with which Chazal? Imlav Angarti, Taryag Mitzvah Shamarti, Taryag includes both. So it doesn't fit into that Chazal. Fine. But don't take Taryag literally, maybe it just means the package of mitzvahs. But anyway, so the Gur Aryeh says, Aseis versus Los Aseis. Why? What's the Svara? Because an Aseis, explains the Maharal, is an act that's supposed to bring me closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, the Avos want to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu too. So do the Aseis. Bottom of the first column. V'achilu sheish bin asei bin los asei. Yadua l'kol maskel, it's known. Ki mitzvah asei hu kinyin maisa. Mibnei shu kinyin. That's, in other words, there's an inherent value to it. Even if I'm not mechuyev in it. If I don't do it, I'm going to be lacking. She kinyan maisa. Ava mitzvah losase. She ain't a mitzvah kinyan maisa. But a losase, what's a losase about? God told me not to do something, and therefore I'm not going to do it. So it doesn't make sense for me not to do it if I wasn't told not to do it. Losases, to volunteer losases, there's no value to it. Right, women are pturas from mitzvahs aseh shezman grama. Okay, so they can volunteer to do them, and they can even make brachas according to Ashkenazic custom. What about los aseis? There are one or two los aseis that women aren't included in. Right, Baal Takif, and a couple of others. There's like two. So what, does it make sense to volunteer? If they're not mitzvah, they're not mitzvah, halachically. So there's no point in volunteering. That's why all the Isurim and the Arayas and marrying two sisters, that's all the Losa says it doesn't make sense to volunteer. Vikar HaMitzvah Shlo Yava Ratzon HaBore. The Ikar HaLosa say is not to violate what God doesn't want me to do. V'chazman Shlo Asar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Eino Over Ratzon Bore Yisbarach. That is the Maharal. Ulafi Daiti Im Mekayim Losa say Shlo Nitzav Elavu Griusa. And he says, according to my opinion, if you don't do something, if you volunteer a Losa say, it's worse. Shein lesser asma v'daber shlo asar oso atora. Right? What are you adding on asar chumras for? God didn't tell you not to do it. And then that we've mentioned before. But then the next part we've never mentioned before. Quotes our Gemara. The raya lezeh sha'amru chachamim. What's my raya? That it makes sense to volunteer asays and not los asays? The Gemara that talks about loig l'rush. Sha'amru chachamim bo yelchad mebeis ha'kvaris v'tzitzis shalom nigroes al kever. You can't have your tzitzis open in a cemetery. Davi loig l'rush. And he could have quoted the Gemara Menachas that you're supposed to even put on tzitzis. But the Gemara Psachim, Shemut, or Lassos, Mayim Tachrichim, Velohavi Zeloi Larosh. Why? Shiny mitzvahs losa say. The Ain Loi Larosh, Kiva Shalonis Tava b'mitzvahs. The Ain Ochasar Kinyan mitzvah. A mace, an iftar, is putter for mitzvahs. So if he's putter, so okay, you want to volunteer an assay? Wonderful. Tzitzis. And that's why if we do it and you can't do it, that's a bizayin. But shatnez, a losasei? No problem. There's no issue about volunteering. That is the Gur Aryeh. His chilek is related to the avos, keeping the Torah, but his chilek is also related to our sugya, to answer up for Loeg L'Rush. This, whenever we mentioned this in the past, we've also said that this fits in nicely to the Ramban in Parshas Yisro, where the Ramban says, aseis flow from. Why is there a principle of aseidoch a losasei? The Ramban asks. Losaseis are much worse. You get punished if you violate a losasei. Mitzvah asei, if I don't do it, okay, except for two of them, I don't get punished. So the Rabban explains, because aseis flow from avas Hashem. And losaseis flow from yiras Hashem. Ava, we're going to get closer. So ava beats yira. Asei docha losasei. That's the Ramban Sfar in Parshas Yisro, in the context of avas Hashem and yiras Hashem. Okay, so these are five answers that we have. Specifically, we have a kasha on the Gemara. How can we put shatnez on a mace? As shroud, so number one, maybe only tzitzis is special that we worry about, because tzitzis is a special mitzvah. Number two, maybe it's a machlokas, whether mitzvos will be batel or not, loss and lavo, so the issue is only loss and lavo, what are we worried about? Number three, maybe shatnez is special, because there's no hanah, there's no isser of shatnez for a mace. Number four, maybe it's just an issue of what could be seen or not, the ritva. And number five, maybe there's a chilek between aseis and los aseis. Halacha l'maisa, what do we do? Tosfos at the end, I'm not going to read it inside, but you look at the end of that Tosfos that we started off with, Avodah Zarah, he talks about, what do we put tzitzis on, do we not put tzitzis on? Tosfos says, maybe if people wore tzitzis in their life, maybe you can put it on, but if people didn't wear tzitzis, you could put tzitzis on now, and they didn't wear tzitzis in their life, so it's like kind of, it accents what they didn't do, it makes it worse. How some poskim, the minority of poskim say, that if somebody is nifter and lived outside of Eretz Yisrael, they should not be brought to Eretz Yisrael. That is a minority of poskim. Because they say, what? You didn't live it your whole life. You're going to just be buried here. It's a Zion, or it emphasizes that you weren't here. So if you're not here, you're not here, and you'll come in the future. Again, Rova poskim assume not that. Rova poskim assume if somebody didn't have the schus of being here, b'chayim, so at least they should have the schus of being here, but mosam. That's what we assume generally halacha l'maisa. But there are poskim that say otherwise. For that's based on this ketosis type of idea. Maybe we shouldn't put tzitzis on people that didn't wear tzitzis in their lifetime. Okay, but l'maisa, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch says in source number 8, what do we do? So says the Shulchan Aruch, tachrichei emes mutal asosim mikelayim. Number one, right? Tachrichei emes, you can make him out of kelayim, as we just explained, for five reasons. And number two, ein kovin es ames ela betala sheyesh bo tzitzis. The Shulchan Aruch says, you put on tzitzis. Bury somebody with tzitzis. Ramah, the yesh omrim, the ein tzarech tzitzis. The Ramah says, that's why whatever minhag you see being done, it's in the Shulchan Aruch. It's either the Mechaber or the Ramah. Sometimes you don't need tzitzis, v'nagel kavar betzitzis, some, so the minhag says the Ramah is to bury in a talus, ach sheposlin tchila tzitzis okar chanechem in a knafos. But you pasul one of them. Okay, different minhagim, every chever kadisha has their own set of minhagim that they follow, and everybody should follow what they follow to be correct. But just a related issue, and that is the Aruch HaShulchan in source number 10 quotes, turning over the page, that there was a story. He says, V'achshav ha-minag ha-pasha b'chot tfutzos Yisrael, the minag in all places, shenosin ha-meis b'tzitzes, you carry ha-meis in tzitzes in a talus, v'kodim shemanichin osov v'kever, before you put them in, notkin tzitzes achas midal tzitz Yosef. So the Aruch HaShulchan quotes in Nevardik 100 years ago, 110 years ago, that you passel the tzitzes before you put it in. Passel the tzitzes, even though it's against the Gemara Menachos. But that's the minhag. Yeshinagu to cut it even earlier, and then he quotes, Vishamati bebiru rosh negdol yador. I heard two stories. And he quotes in the last line, this was the Gra and the Baal Yisod Shorish Vahavoda. Right, those are the two Rabbanim involved. I heard about two Gedolei Adar. Echad Tziv, Echad L'Tamidav. One of them told his student, Sheyikbru Oso B'chol Tziz Yosef. Make sure you bury me in Tzitzis. That's Gemara Menachos. I want to be buried in Tzitzis like the Shulchan Aruch. V'Oso Talmud, and the Talmud was at the Levaya, he was a good student, K'Sheyigiyu La'Albasha Tachrichav, right when they were about to cover him in shrouds, Chash B'Meav, he got a terrible stomachache. V'Yatza, and he had to leave. Chutz. And the rest of the Chaver Kadisha didn't know about this. And they cut one of the tzitzis. And when the guy came back, he says, Oyvei. And he comes back. He starts screaming. It must be an Osman HaShamayim that it was meant to be that way. Or the second story, when they brought him out to the kever and they were lowering him in, nistavcha achas me'atitzios biyachash b'docha kever, that one of the, it got knotted on the way down, and boom, it ripped. Right? So both, they took it as a simon hashamayim, it must be don't mess with minog. Right? Don't mess with the minog in places where they pasul, where they cut off one of the corners, they took it as an os min hashamayim. And just relate, that's so l'maisa that seems to be, everybody should follow their own minhag, and even if one wants to change the minhag, seems like there was a simon hashamayim not to change it. Just to give you another two places where you see this idea and what it means, so what does it mean, simon hashamayim? Do we pass on like that? If you get simonim, this is just a derech agav point to end with, but if you get a simon hashamayim, you pass on that way. Lo b'shamayim, Gemara says in Bava Metzia. So there are two other places where this comes up, and then an explanation. Number one is this case of the tzitzis. Number two, Rabbi Forrest quotes, there's a story in his Kashrus book of the Chassam Sofer. It's a big discussion in the poskim. We know Rova poskim, Rov Rishonim, and the Shulchan Aruch, and the Ramah will say that it's best to wait 6 hours between Fleishiks and Milchiks. 6 hours, that's the one that's most grounded in the sources. I have a cousin who married a convert. So when he became Jewish, he went to a Rav and said, how many hours should I wait? Right? You don't have a minhag, right? I used to not wait anything. So, how many hours? So, could he choose to be Dutch? Right? So, the Rav told him, no, Rova Poskim say 6 hours. He waits 6 hours. That's what the Rova Poskim say. So, what happens, though, if somebody slept a Shenas Keva, but it was less than 6 hours? Somebody had a very late barbecue, and then they went to sleep for 5 hours, then they woke up, and they davened pretty quickly, or not, before that, they want to have a cup of coffee in the morning. So it's within 6 hours, Aaron can relate, right? Within 6 hours, and you want to have milchiks. Does sleeping speed up digestion, whatever it is, does sleeping change any halacha about the 6 hours? So the Chassam Sofer paskins, it does. And you don't have to wait 6 hours. That night, he went to sleep, he slept probably didn't sleep for 6 hours. He woke up in the morning, he poured himself a cup of coffee, and he spilled it all over himself. And he took it as a simon hashamayim. It must be that it shouldn't be. That's a second example where we have this. Source 11. Source 12. Rav Sternbach quotes a third context where we see this type of idea. And this one is probably the most famous out of all three. The Vilna Gaon, they say in Vilna, tried to start duchening. Nesias Kapayim in Vilna. That's a big mystery, the topic of another shiur, why we don't duchen in Chutz Laretz. Why is it connected to Eretz Yisrael? So the Ramah struggles, three different reasons. They're not besimcha in Chutz Laretz. Whatever the reason is, at the end of the day, it's very difficult why duchening in Nesias Kapayim is not done in Chutz Laretz. But either way, the Gra said, I'm starting it. And every time you wanted to start it, the night before, something happened. The Torahs were stolen, there was a fire, something. So they took it as a simon hashamayim. Shouldn't be. So all these cases, simon hashamayim. So Pashto says, yeah, they took it as a simon, it's not happening. Rav Sternbach explains, maybe more LP logic, that all these things, what was it a simon? It was a simon that maybe we should re-research the sugya. And then they went back and re-researched the sugya and came out maybe with the other shita. But not that it was magic. Simon hashamayim. But the case of the tzitzis, the case of the coffee, and the case of the duchening, that's how Rav Sternbach explains these ideas. But either way, we just mentioned it because it has to do with our sugya about tzitzis and shatnez to a mace, loy larush, and Be'ez Hashem, we should all only have these halachas in theory, discuss it in the Beis Medrash, bila hamavas lanetzach, mach Hashem nimal kalponim, and we should be able to talk about marriage halachas as well, and only celebrate simchas.